Our reading this week has brought us to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Trust that you've read it over, and we'll do so again this afternoon in preparation for tonight as we gather to study the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians as we journey through the Bible. This morning we'd like to draw your attention to verse 1, where Paul declares, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house that is not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." The Bible teaches that the real you, the real me, is not our bodies. The real you, the real me, is spirit. The Bible tells us that God formed man out of the dust of the earth. At that particular point, man was nothing more than just a statue. Marvelously formed, to be sure, but there was no life, just a form. And then we read that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's where man became. That's the start of man, when God breathed into him. The body wasn't the man. The Bible teaches that the body is sort of like a tent, in which a person lives for a time. But the real me is not the body. The real me is spirit. I live in this body like I might live in a tent when I'm on vacation. In those days, and of course in that area of the world, many people lived in tents. There are the Bedouins who today still live in the tents, a very interesting cultural group with fascinating customs. And they will move their tents into an area, and they will graze their sheep and their goats, and when they've sort of expended the area, they will move on. And one day you'll see them folding up the tents and moving on. Actually, you'll see the women folding up the tents while the men supervise, and they move on to another location. But the tent is not thought of as a permanent place to dwell. You see the tent, and your immediate thought is transiency. Just for a while, it serves its purpose, but then you move on. The tent wears out. And you have to make a new tent. The body was intended by God to be the medium by which my spirit could express itself. So what I am and what I feel and what I think, I'm able to express to you by the medium of my body. And you, by the medium of your body, can understand, as I express myself, my feelings, and what I am. In turn, you express to me what you are, and what you feel, and what you think. And as we are expressing ourselves to each other, we come to know each other. We come to appreciate each other. We come to admire each other. We come to love one another, and that's exactly what God intended, that through these bodies, as the medium of the expression for our spirits, we come into meaningful, loving relationships as we come to know and admire each other. Now, because the body is the medium by which I express myself, I am also oftentimes just thought of in terms of the body, but the body is not me, just a tent in which I'm presently living. God has designed very special relationships First and foremost among these relationships, the relationship of husband and wife. And God said, for this cause, a man shall leave his mother and father, and he shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. That was the primary relationship that God intended for us while we're in these bodies. And the purpose of that relationship was the perpetuation of the human race. God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. From that basic primary relationship, there came then the secondary relationship of mother and father and children. Now, the Bible says the two shall become one flesh. As I look at my beautiful daughters, my handsome sons, I realize that they are half me and half Kay. The two of us have become one. I contributed my 23 chromosomes. She contributed her 23 chromosomes. And making the 46, it made up the full complement, and thus they are a blend of the two of us. We have become one in them. And that beautiful relationship that developed between the father-son, father-daughter kind of relationship. Then there came the brother-sister relationship. And then the cousins and the aunts and the uncles and then the grandparents and then the great-grandparents. But these relationships were all intended by God to be special and to be meaningful as we relate to each other. Now, the Bible teaches that one day our spirits will depart from our body. And when that happens, when my life leaves, when I move out of this body, my body, having served its purpose, will return to dust. God said, from dust thou art come, and to the dust you shall return. So the body will go back to dust. When through age, accident, illness, or some other malady, the body can no longer function as God intended it to, when it is no longer a meaningful medium of expressing me, when it can no longer express me, when it gives me more pain and weakness than joy and strength, when it no longer is an adequate medium of expressing me, then God in his love will release my spirit from this body. Else my body would become a prison of pain one day, of weakness. I've often said that if someday I would, say, have a heart attack and keel over here in the pulpit, and you come up and there's no pulse, I don't want you to pray that God will bring me back and will heal me. For if he answers that prayer, the first thing I'll do is smack you in the mouth. When the time comes to move, I'm ready. Paul tells us in his first letter to the Corinthians, so that when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You see, for the child of God, death is victory. It is not a curse. It is a blessing. It's being released from this old tent that we might move into the glorious building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul cried, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? So he said that we who are living in these tents do groan as we earnestly desire to move into our house, which is in heaven. When Paul wrote to the Philippian church, he said, you know, I have mixed emotions. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, I realize that I'm still needed for your benefit, that I might instruct you in the ways of the Lord. But I'm torn between the desire to just be with the Lord and the desire to continue the ministry that I have to you. The Bible teaches that when this tent, our earthly body, is dissolved, goes back to the dust, we have a building of God that's not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, I used to, when I was a child, picture entering into heaven, an angel taking me by the hand and leading me down a beautiful lane until we come to a gorgeous mansion, beautiful landscape, stream running by, and the angel said, this is the mansion that the Lord's prepared for you. But as years have gone by and my knowledge and understanding of the Word of God has increased, I've sort of come to the conclusion that when Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that he's talking about the new body that he has for me, the building of God not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The new body that I receive probably won't need to sleep, so there would be no need for bedrooms. I don't know if there would be a need for a bathroom or a kitchen for my new body. The Bible doesn't really tell us exactly what the new body will be like, but it is going to be far superior to the body in which I presently live. It's the difference between a worn-out tent and a building, a building of God, not made with hands. Paul said that he earnestly groaned because it was his desire to move into this house in heaven. In the 8th chapter of Romans, Paul said that all of creation groans and travails together in pain until now. And we also groan within ourselves as we wait for the manifestation of the sons of God, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Now, my spirit, me, the true me, has been redeemed. I've been forgiven my sins. I've been cleansed from every wrong I've ever done. I'm redeemed through the blood of Jesus. He's purchased me. But my body's not redeemed. I'm still living in this tent of corrupting flesh. And there are certain body desires or body drives that in and of themselves are not wrong, because God created them that the body might be sustained. There is the air drive, the thirst drive, the hunger drive. These are all important for the sustenance of the body. Among these drives that we have, that God has created for his purposes, are the sex drive. God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. And so he put in Adam the sex drive. Otherwise, when God presented Eve, he would have said, glad to meet you. I'm going fishing. And that would have been the end of the story. God intended that we be drawn to each other by this drive into the beautiful bond of husband and wife. He did not intend that it should be a toy that we should play with indiscriminately for our own pleasure and excitement. To do that would be to pervert the purpose of God in placing that drive within us. Many men and women throughout history have sought to cast aside the commandments of God, and they've misused the gifts of God, but always there were dire consequences. And God would send his servants, the prophets, to warn them, if you pervert the gifts of God, if you misuse the gifts of God, there are consequences to be experienced. Dire consequences. But people often would mock the prophets of God. They would scorn them. And they would go on in their own way. They would say, it's my body. I can do with it as I please. I should have the right to do with my body as I please. In a sense, God gave you that privilege of doing as you please, but he warned you also that there were certain things that if you did them, they're going to lead to awful consequences. And if you will look at history, you will find that in history there have been great empires that have risen, but people have cast aside the rules that God has laid out. And as a result, those great empires have fallen. You cannot have a great culture without rules and regulations. And God has set the rules and the regulations. Ignorant man thought that he was wiser than God, that he knew best for himself. But he has always discovered to his own dismay the truth of God and the destruction that he's brought upon himself because he dared to defy the laws of God. We cannot imagine how glorious our new body is going to be. And any speculation concerning it is only vain because it's just speculation. The Bible doesn't really give us any kind of detailed description of the capacities of the new body. I've often wondered just what will it be like. But we really don't know for sure. We just know that it's going to be glorious when this corruption puts on incorruption and this mortal puts on immortality. Paul had a very short visit into paradise, and when he came back, he said, you know, I heard things that were so glorious, it would be a crime to try to describe them with human language. He didn't even attempt to describe his experience because he said, language is just not sufficient. It defies description by human language. So glorious. I've received this body as a hand-me-down. I have all of the inherent defects in the genes of my ancestry. Some of their careless habits got passed on in the genes. Got bald-headed genes from my mom. I don't know which of the ones back there was responsible for that. But it's a hand-me-down. It's not direct from God. It's through the millenniums, there's been the gene pool that just sort of has broken down. Built-in deficiencies over which I have absolutely no control. It's a far cry from the body that God gave to Adam. The body God gave to Adam was a perfect body. He's the one that started corrupting the gene pool. But Adam's body was good to last for 960 years. This body of mine, not going to make anything close to that. But it's not direct from God. It's through my ancestry that I have this body. An interesting combination of the genes, that the codes and so forth that have been put together as the chromosomes have combined and so forth. But the new body that I'm going to get comes to me directly from God. Paul said, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Not made with hands, a building of God, not made with hands. So the new body, no inherent deficiencies, weaknesses, traits, but fresh, building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, for a time, God has seen fit to leave us here in these tents. But his ultimate purpose is that we might be with him. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, there ye may be also. And that's God's ultimate purpose for every one of us, that we be with him in the glory of his eternal kingdom. And one of these days, Jesus is coming for me. He said, and if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, I know that as long as I'm still living in this tent, Paul said, I'm absent from the Lord. But I would choose rather to be absent from this tent so that I could be present with the Lord. What is death then to one who has put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ? It's moving day. Moving out of the ragged tent into the glorious, beautiful building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In an environment that is so pure that it's indescribable. As David said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. But what happens when I come to the end of the days of my life? My life in this tent. David said, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The building of God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, this is the hope for every believer and every child of God. The real me is not this body. One day, I'm going to move out of the body. Told Kay to send out change of address cards. Chuck has moved from the tent into the mansion, the building of God, not made with hands. And thus, as a child of God, we have no fear of death. But it is that glorious hope for the eternal life that sustains us. And as Job, in the darkest hours of despair, everything had turned against him. His friends, his wife, his servants. He'd have to beg his servant. And they would ignore him. And out of that dark despair, there was one hope, and that is, I know that my Redeemer lives and shall stand in the last days upon the earth. And though the worms will eat this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. That hope. The question is, do you have that hope? The Bible tells us that we know we've passed from death into life. Do you know that? The Bible assures us that we can know that we have eternal life. Do you know that you have eternal life? If, God forbid, on your way home from church today, you should be involved in a serious accident and suddenly your spirit would leave this tent because the tent would be mangled and it would no longer be able to function as God intended it, and your spirit would suddenly leave this tent, would it move into the building of God not made with hands? Are you sure? You see, something that is so important as your eternal destiny is something that you don't want to leave to chance or to hope so or to trust so. You want to know so. And you can know so. The scripture tells us we know that we are the sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we're going to be. We know when he appears, we'll be like him. I have a body like his, and that's all I care. It'll be perfect. Do you have that hope? If not, I wouldn't leave this place today until I was assured. And you can be assured. God's word is the assurance. So we pray. Father, we thank you for the glorious hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ that sustains us through some of the darkest hours of life. And Lord, when we're going through those dark hours of sorrow because of the loss of a loved one and their presence with us, they've moved out of the tent, Lord, and we miss them. And we feel, Lord, sometimes just despair. We don't know how we can go on without them. But Lord, in the darkness of the night, when we feel that the world is caving in, we thank you for the hope that sustains. I know my Redeemer lives. And in the last days, he's going to stand upon this earth. And though this old tent is dissolved, I know that in my flesh I shall see him. Thank you, Lord, for the hope of eternal life in the glorious kingdom of God, prepared for those who love him and have committed their lives to him. Lord, we love you, and we commit ourselves to you today to be your servants, to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? I trust that the Holy Spirit has sort of gripped your heart while we were speaking, and that in your heart you thought, yes, I'm going to live the right life. I'm going to change. I'm going to start being the person God wants me to be. I'm going to surrender my life to follow the Lord. I trust that that took place in many of your hearts today, that I've decided to follow Jesus. If you'd sort of like to just cinch the deal, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room and just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to follow you. With the strength and the help of your Spirit, I'm going to live the life that you want me to live. I'll serve you. And may this be the day that you become transformed by the Spirit of God and you really come alive. The Bible says that it's possible to be living but not living. The Bible says if you're living only for pleasure, you're dead while you're still alive. Paul said, God has made you alive who once were dead because of your trespasses and sins. Dead unto God and the things of the Spirit of God. Just, you know, dull, dense, dead to spiritual things. You don't have to be. There's a dimension of life that we can't describe. The life of the Spirit, walking in fellowship with God, conscious fellowship with God. And that beautiful assurance of God's Spirit that I'm a child of God and I'm going to spend eternity with Him. And though one day this tent will dissolve and go back to dust, yet I will just move out into the building of God, not made with hands. It's an assurance by the Spirit of God within your heart that you can't describe. You have to experience it. And I encourage you to do so today. May the Lord be with you. And may the Lord guide and keep your life in His love. In Jesus' name.